eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
And that has changed everything. Everything comes up Deegan with his first ever Supercross win.
Welcome to the danger zone, baby.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Title 24 presented by NBC Sports. I'm Ricky Carmichael. I am remote here at Gatorback Cycle Park, and I have our co-host, as always, my man, Ryan Villopoto. And RV, I'm out here at a very historic racetrack. I know that you have been here. I love this place. I haven't ridden here since like 2002, I believe it was. No, actually 2000, so a long time ago. But always fun to come back here to Gatorback, and I'm here for the Triumph Global Press launch for their new bike. So we have a whole bunch of people here from the globe. Today happens to be all the U.S. press. So we're excited about it, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Before we get going, we got a great show for you guys. Before we get going, as always, we got to thank our great sponsors, United Motorsports, Boxo USA, Quadlock Case, and Dunlop Tires. Dunlop is a new partner this year, so glad to have Dunlop on board. And RV, it was an incredible weekend, a lot of drama, some unfortunate circumstances, and I'm going to hop right into it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, Preston Harvey, lots of mistakes by race leaders. Is this due to the less experience or the track being gnarly? What do you think, dude?
Well, Ricky, yeah, there was a lot going on this weekend. Big weekend for just, I think, some points. We got the points are now closer in both classes. You know, lots of mistakes. I looked at the track. I thought half of it was technically easy from the jump combinations. One of the rhythm section was pretty simple, right? A 2-3-3 or a 3-3-2. But that other rhythm section out of the first turn there, man, that gave a lot of guys made mistakes on that rhythm section. And from what I saw, it looked like they were carrying a lot of speed in there. They were going over essentially like a quad, kind of over the top of that tabletop. Uh-huh. And then in the middle there, it kind of looked like some of those rhythms, the spacing was tight. A lot of the stuff was tight this weekend, I thought. And you know, that's what we saw. We saw Austin go down. We saw Jalit go down in that rhythm section. There was a lot of close calls in that rhythm section, along with the dirt that we heard from all the riders, you know, very inconsistent. It looks like it's tacky. It looks a little bit sandy on TV. And then all of a sudden, you know, they lose traction. So very technical weekend, and we saw it bite some guys big time.
Yeah, for sure it did. And it was wild for a while there. And just getting right into it, to the 450 race recap and the Boxo breakdown portion of our show today, I would say probably three quarters of the way through that 450 main event, RV, I'm like, oh man, this is going to be one of those races like what might have been had Eli Tomac not gone down, had Ken Roczen not gone down. There was so much chaos ensuing from those guys, and they really, I feel like they had a good chance to do really well, but they also came back from a long way. But I just think of Jet Lawrence, and RV, dude, you know how hard it is to be in a situation like that where basically – everything's a formality at this point. He's going to win the race. And then he dude just straight up makes a mistake. And what we're watching is Jet, he gets loses his balance, looks like, as he's tripling and lands onto a tough block. And you know, I know this is he's just gonna have to chalk this up as another rookie mistake. But at the same time, dude, you know better than anyone. Rarely are you in this position, and it's so hard to be where you have that lead like that. I mean, what was your thoughts when you saw that?
Just, I mean, like I said, that rhythm section there was catching guys off guard all day through time practices, and then also throughout the main events and qualifiers. Like you said, came in there, seat bounced over that tabletop three, and landed. Look, maybe a little bit of cross rutted, off balance. And as you see right here, as he goes over, a little his leg comes off, he makes an adjustment in the air, but wasn't able to make enough of an adjustment to get him off those Yamaha tough blocks over there. So ended up putting him down in call it a critical situation. It's not very often that you have a lead, you're in a good position, and it just chalk it up to a stupid mistake, you know? That was I guess uncharacteristic of Jet.
Yeah, I think at this point, you know, I don't think there's no reason he needs to try, or his team needs to try to reinvent the wheel. You know, you went from hero to zero really quick, but it's a learning lesson. I feel like he has learned from all the situations that he's been in. And to your point, I just think it's just one of those things. But yeah, it was certainly out of pocket, I think, for a guy of that caliber, no doubt, definitely a costly mistake. And I mean, he lost a lot of points also, which leads me to a great question. Savannah Leach 94, asked, why is Freezy so, I think she messed it, frequently involved in racing incidents with other riders this year? What do you think in that situation? What do you think Freezy should have done? Should he have been more aware? I mean, what's your claim right here?
I mean, I'm gonna chalk this up to being Freeze held his line all the way through the whoops. As you see right here, you have Jet and you have Coop behind him drastically coming into the whoops. As you jump that double, your eyes automatically go from the landing to into the whoops. He should have seen that coming. The only option he had is if he could have got up next to Coop as at the entry of the whoop section, but he still wasn't. He was behind him as he entered into those whoops. And I don't know what, you know, I mean, if put it this way, Freeze would be in a whole lot of, you know, issues if he saw the blue flag and started to peel right, because he would have peeled right into Cooper, right? So he did what he was supposed to do in that scenario. He held his line, and Jet basically ran into the back of him. Maybe he didn't think that Vince was going to slow up so much into the inside and just kind of roll around the inside, but he's still going triple, triple, triple through the whoops, and then he singles in, and Jet runs into the back of him. Let's call it rookie mistake. There was nowhere to go.
Yeah, and then he got, let's see here. There goes Tomac by him. AP gets by him. He ends up fourth. But I agree with you, like, at least halfway through the whoops, because you're looking pretty far ahead at that point. And he had to, I mean, yeah, I'm sitting here like thinking, like, how did you not see him? And I just think maybe just poor timing. Enough of our talk. We got a little sound on tape, and he tells us, Jet says, he talks about it. Roll the tape.
Silly mistake. I should have seen the lap was going to stop, and I just didn't think enough far ahead. Another learning curve for me, and on the Daytona, excited to race there.
Boom. There you go. No, he's right. He just wasn't looking far enough ahead, and I don't know, maybe looking back, he was anticipating, but that was Jet on his comment and in the heat of the moment, but definitely a costly one for sure. I was surprised by that. I really was, to your point. Like, I mean, sitting here, it's easy for us to say what we would have done, but definitely I was surprised, like, in the moment when I saw that. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just a racing incident. You needed to look farther ahead and anticipate what was going to happen, and didn't do that. And that's what we Like yeah. I said, costly mistake. We're looking. I'm looking at points right now up on my board. I got 135 and yeah. one. You know, my Coop three down. So
yeah.
You know, Aaron Plessinger seven down. Chase eight down. Eli 13. Eli's still in the mix here, guys. I mean, hey, he's 13 down, right?
He's phenomenal. He is. Hey, we talked about it last week on the show, and I loved what you had to say. It's like, you know, and you basically, Eli proved your point, what you were talking about last week, RV, on the pod, is like, hey, you're going to give him to at least Daytona. He's still inside of 20 points. So now he gained in points this weekend, so he strengthened his championship position. And this is super important. I think how well he rode, definitely beast mode ride for sure. And I want to get your thoughts on it, but what a great way, a great momentum builder going into a track where he is the winningest rider of all time at Daytona Supercross. Dude, he's got to have a ton of confidence. And I think he's going to be one of the favorites this weekend, dude. Like, what was your, give us your analysis on ET and his ride and what you saw from the two-time champ this weekend?
I mean, I saw a great recovery, right? In the first part of that race, showed early on in our recap video that we're watching currently is, you know, jumped a little deep, washed the front end out real quick, goes up, hits the tough blocks, but was able to recover right here for the fan folks that are watching. Lands deep, pushes the front wheel right there, just really quick action. Catches you off guard. Unexpected. He was not expecting the front wheel to do that. And then it just pitched him up off the high side there. But he was able to recover. He came through the pack. He made passes, like he said in the press conference. And his speed, I believe he had the fastest lap time, if not really close to the fastest lap time in that main event. And I think this is what we were all waiting for and looking for, was this ride from Eli. And we're not even to, let's call it, his best track, right? Daytona. Like we had talked last week on the show, we both agreed, we're giving him till Daytona. And this right here, what we saw out of Arlington, out of Dallas, was exactly what he needed for to start this trajectory and that confidence and getting back in the swing of things, of being one of the fastest, if not the fastest guy, on Saturday night, rolling into Daytona. So I think we're going to see some good things from Eli. Dude, 13 out. I'm calling it that he will be in the mix down to the last round in this series.
I like it. There you got it. Aaron, mark that little sound bite right there. So we got it going into Denver and Salt Lake City. St. Nico 333. Was Tomac ever so fired up in an interview before? Roll the sound on tape. Dude, this was so awesome. You can tell this guy is super like pissed and heated, and he's tired of the smack talk and the disrespect. Go for it, Aaron.
I'm sick of people calling me the old guy, so I'm just warming up. I'm getting better. I'm coming, so I'm ready to get going, and second will do for tonight.
And I've kind of just, like, I've heard it the whole season, you know, and I know I'm not, like, there yet, and but I don't know. Maybe some people are right. I haven't won an overall yet, but one thing's for sure is I have improved, and I'm getting better. I'm ready to, you know, put up the fight in this last half, and maybe show some of the young guys that they're still young.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, dude, like you talked about it, we all have on this podcast, and about some of the lack of respect that the guy has gotten, I think, from some keyboard warriors. And listen, Eli has started slow in the past, but I'm with you. I think he's getting the ball rolling. He was at the Star facility testing, made some big improvements. His results spoke for themselves here this weekend. I like this next question. It comes from Danny Bolton. If they both started up front, does Eli have the speed to run with Jet? RV, this weekend, for sure, I think he does. And I think he does going into Daytona also. Do you think that he does? Do you think that ET can run with Jet if they start 1-2?
Yeah, I do agree. I agree. I think it has to, if you call it early in the season, ask me that, I would say no, he didn't. But with the rides, the improvements that we're seeing from Eli, and then obviously here at this last Saturday night at Arlington, he rode really, really well, and I think he's on form. And look, it might not be every single weekend, but and it might be vice versa too. And Eli being fast one weekend and Jet being fast, as this season kind of comes down to, rolls down to being closer to the end, I think that yes, he does have the speed to run with Jet, and I think it would be an all-out dogfight if they both show up with their A game on any particular weekend. Now, if you get somebody guy off, like he dealt with arm pump, he said that at on the press conference, I believe this weekend's press conference, of what he really, really struggled with. And he had said that, he goes, I got flat out got lapped. You know, and you can't, when you do blow up, when your arms blow up like that, there's really nothing you can do, because the only way to get that arm pump to go away is to legitimately stop and stretch that thing out and stop the motorcycle and take the hands off the bars, right? So in that position, he did what he did. He salvaged points, and you know, after Arlington, with being only 13 down now, I'm gonna say yes, he can run that speed with Jet.
Boom, there you go, Danny. That was a good question. I totally agree with what RV said. I'm looking for a battle this weekend. I really hope that we get all these guys up front, and that Eli gets up front to early, just to see. We know what Coop can do, which leads us to Coop. A hell of a ride for him. He was less than impressive throughout practice. I mean, you could just tell he didn't have the raw speed that he needed. He's pretty vocal on the podium about you know, how he broke through and what was going on through his night. At the same time, though, RV, this doesn't surprise me. I mean, this guy is an absolute warrior mentally. I think he's one. I think he's one of the strongest dudes mentally on that gate right now. I think he always has been, for the most part, but especially right now this year. Do you think the same or what?
I do. I think the start, like, you know, he's one of those riders that has shown in the past that he started off a little bit slow. And this year, the switch over from Star Yamaha, obviously seems like things are gelling better with him, and he's kept himself in the game every weekend, even if it's not knocking down the wins. Like, he just got his very first win of the season. I believe it's the very first win of the season. But nonetheless, it hasn't been like he hasn't won a lot of races, right? So I think that he's coming on strong. He's another one that's going to run down, because we know, you know, watching in from past championships and past series, the kid's a fighter, and he's going to run it down to the end. So with the perfect storm, if you call it, that we have brewing right now, with all of our top five being so close and in championship contention, you know, it comes down to some of these guys just having, like you said, he wasn't great in practice, but he found something for that main event. And I think it's also a confidence thing. You know, like, you give these guys an inch, they're going to take a mile. And that's what I mean by the confidence is, yes, it could be just a little step up, but you give them an inch, they're going to start taking a lot, right, out of the scenario. So I like what I'm seeing from him. He's going to be a hard competitor to beat.
Yeah, he talks about, we got some sound on tape, and he basically talks about how he feels this year feels like his other championship years. Listen to what Coop says.
This year doesn't feel like any of the other years, to be honest. I mean, I've ridden, I feel like, the best I have all year, and I don't have as many podiums or wins as maybe as I did at this point before. So it's a stacked class. The field is really, really deep, a lot of fast guys, and you have to be on your A game. And I think you've seen we've all been kind of all over a little bit. So it's an awesome feeling to get a win and to be back closer in the points and just kind of reestablish things and get some confidence moving forward. And like you said, headed east and headed to some places I really enjoy.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, yeah, he says it right there.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Dude, I thought Aaron Plessinger did well. He really did. Just kind of got shuffled back. I mean, and again, had Eli not been on a tear, for sure he would have been in, he would have gotten second, most likely. But it's so hard, as you know, to stop Eli on a night like that. So I was really stoked to see AP bounce back from Glendale. And honestly, he is a new guy. I've seen what this is. That was round seven. We've seen him be in a crap position and he's had enough bounce back moments this season that I think he's here to stay. I think he's here to stay for the championship. And he's a championship favorite along with the other guys. So, I mean, if you got anyone else you want to talk about, I mean,
back to AP, you know, he's only seven out and AP hasn't had a start of a 450 that I can remember. Maybe I'm wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong, but, this is the best start to any one of his 450 careers. You know, AP seven down.
Just look at the points. I mean, what we are treated to.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
It's gnarly. Like, and so it's anyone's game straight up.
It is anybody's game. It is anybody's game. And I think that having AP in this scenario, this in the position that he's in right now, to your point of he's here to stay, I believe he's kind of found his, I think the bike's working well, him and the team are jiving well. And every weekend he's, you know, he might not be winning the race and he might not be on the box, but he's right there. And he's put himself in a position that he's only 7 points out of this championship. And like I said, he hasn't been in this position before. So I think we're seeing a new AP kind of finding himself in this 450 class.
Yep. Yep. No doubt. Moving along. And I know we're going to spend some time on this next subject, but for the United Motorsports moment of the night, obviously, it's got to be Austin Faulkner's crash. We got some tape on here. And before we break it down and give our analysis, Aaron, if you could just run it here. So you see, you watched the broadcast, RB, like what? Yep. What was your initial thought? Were you you never expected him to do something like that, I'm not guessing, but what did you think of it?
it's terrible to see. Shows you how gnarly this sport is. But I think he rushed that rhythm section. And what I mean by rushed is he came in with really good speed. He came in hot. He wheelied over that single. And then you basically quad over the top of that. And that rhythm section, like when we started the show, it really gave a lot of dudes trouble, throughout the, qualifiers and the main events. And he tagged it. And my personal belief is he wasn't ready for it. Like he wasn't aware that he was going to case it that bad. And that's why I think you saw his body and weight transfer. And he wasn't able to keep up with when it threw his body forward. I think we have a replay of Hunter casing it also, Aaron, if you want to run that right now, that he was able to, he knew that he was going to case it. He was ready for it, and he kind of breaks and sucks it up and only goes double, triple into the turn. We'll watch right now in slow-mo. He cases it probably worse, a little bit more inside, but he was aware of him coming up short and hanging the rear wheel on it. And Austin, you know, about the same, but I don't think he was aware that it was going to be that catastrophic, right? And I think that's one of the, as that makes a great rider and a good rider, is knowing not the consequences, but what can happen in a scenario like that. You know, you either got, there's two things you can do. You can either really suck it up with your legs and use a little bit of brake and kind of take, scrub some speed off, or you can land in that scenario knowing you're going to case it and almost use it as a whoop and almost land on the gas and kind of jump off of it and get that forward push through when you case it. Now you're going to bottom out really hard on that next takeoff, and he still might have had to go double instead of triple. But I think that would have saved him. But ultimately, I don't think he was aware of his surroundings or aware of how bad he was going to case it. And that's why all that weight transfer threw him forward.
Yeah, I was in such a tough moment there. Number one, I couldn't believe what I was seeing, because these are the moments, like, and this isn't going to be fun for me to talk about RV, but we're not doing our job, and if we don't do this and break it down and explain what happened, why it happened, and how do you avoid situations like this again. And these are the scenarios that we wanted to see Austin Faulkner in and how he would react, right? This is like, okay, Deegan was behind him the whole time. Deegan lost some time, pulled back in, fell back a couple bike lengths or a second, but he was still there, and he had to roll. Like, you know, the pressure was there, and if he slowed up anymore, Hayden was definitely going to get on his rear tire and probably try to make a move for the lead. So, and I hate saying this, but he failed. He failed at being better in that position. And, you know, and to what you said, everyone knew that that section was gnarly. Everybody knew what was at stake there. And sometimes you have to slow down to go faster. And again, it's not ideal when you have to do that, especially when you're being pressured. But you have to know what you can get away with. And to your point, I think you broke it down right. He came into that section with way more speed than he needed to, and he blew through it. Didn't get the lift that he needed. And he wasn't able to stop. His feet came off the foot pegs, and his left hand came off the handlebar, and he just, all his weight went forward, and he was along for the ride at that point. But I mean, at what stage do you just say, okay, I know I have to slow down, get checked up, and then preload the bike enough to get the pop that I can to make sure that I backside that tabletop, you know? And that's one of those moments, like you talked about, RV, is that you've got to know that. You've got to know that line, and you have to have the discipline to do the right things in the crucial part of the race and at the perfect time.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, he didn't. And, you know, like, you, people can blame the track, they can blame the section. I saw some comments about, that was a dangerous section. Okay, well, we've cut the whoops down to only 9. We've gotten rid of dragon backs. When does it stop?
Yeah.
Like, at what stage do we just say, go slower on the motorcycle?
Yep. Is that Hamaker there? Big, that was a big mistake by that, you know, very similar. McAdoo. Sorry. That was McAdoo.
Yeah. McAdoo.
With a very similar, that rhythm section caught people out all day. And that was a very, and why I say it, you saw a video, you saw it over and over and over, it catching guys off guard. And when you walk the track and, or after practice, when you're seeing that, like, that is something that you have to be aware of. Like, I can always remember Randy Lawrence and Eldon. We'd go to Phoenix, for example, and Phoenix always, the track was one of those tracks that could catch you off guard. There was always some, the dirt specifically could catch you off guard. And certain rhythm sections, it seemed the way they built the tracks during that era of when I was racing, there was the very uncharacteristic mistakes can happen to, you know, and that was to me, that was a pretty straightforward rhythm section.
Yep.
Guys were coming in because of the long straightaway kind of coming in, and then they had to wheelie over that roller. You know, judging your closing rate into that takeoff is one thing that I think was made it tough for those guys. But look, we're racing Supercross. This is the highest level of two-wheel motorsports on dirt. We can't be just make – there's McAdoo right there. Very similar – very, very similar to what happened to Austin, but he was able to save it. Here's the other replay of Hunter doing it. But my point is we can't adjust the track every time somebody crashes. It is what it is. You need to get smarter. You need to get better. I even saw somebody like, how can we have concrete still on the side of the track? Well, what do you want there? I mean, Monster Cup, I did something very similar to Austin when I landed out on the flat. I'd missed the Joker lane, landed on the flat. Same thing, knocked out. It was the dirt versus the concrete. There's really no difference on the pad, right? They've been running excavators, loaders, dozers on it. It might as well be concrete. We can't fix everything, or that failed, and Dirtworks can't fix everything. They do the best job that they can, and it comes down to the riders need to be better and be
make better decisions. Make better decisions. Be more aware.
Yep, exactly.
I hate it for Austin. I hate it for Mitch, the whole program. And, you know, there were definitely – Austin certainly had better qualities and was doing better, I feel like, as a rider. But it's still it's the same result. At the end of the day, it's the same result.
Yeah.
It's the same result, same kind of scenario. So hopefully everything will be okay with Austin.
And here's the other thing, Ricky, is he already had done it. Let's throw it out there. He had already done it 50 times prior to that. Let's call it through practice, through the qualifier and through, I mean, I think he crashed with like 2 minutes and roughly around 2 minutes, 30 to go or two something. It was closing down to white flag. He had already jumped that jump X amount of times. To me, that is either a brain fart, brain fade, mistake, because he showed that he did it perfectly up until that point.
Yeah. Moving on, Hayden, I thought, did a great job. You know, people are hating on him big time, dude. Like, it's so gnarly, as I'm sure you've seen. But before we get on there, Boober on board asks, was Danger Boy's celebration in poor taste when he gained his lead by the misfortune of Faulkner and Faulkner still being attended to on track by the doc? Roll the sound on tape.
The nerves are always there the whole race, you know? It was just trying for me just to hit my marks every lap, like not make one mistake. And that's honestly, which I think this 250 class lacks, is consistency, and these guys make a lot of mistakes. So if you can be the guy to not make these mistakes, I mean, that's pits you up front, right? I mean, Jet Lawrence came in, won, went to the 450 class quick. He didn't spend a lot of time here. He was consistent and up front and not making a dumb move. So, you just want to be consistent, I'd say. And the nerves were there, but, you know, first win. I've led some races, so it wasn't too bad.
Again, people are going to hate him for that comment, but I can't debate anything that he just said, because those are harsh words, but those are words of reality in the world, RV, that I believe you and I were raised on and grew up and how we raced and how our approach to winning races was. No, I mean,
yeah, no, I look, I've heard that, multiple times now where, you know, people say he's cocky or he's this, he's that. I mean, does he have a little bit of a cocky, maybe smart ass kind of vibe to him?
Oh yeah, he does.
I think he does. rightfully so though. He has brought everything to the table that he spoke about, right? With the SMX championship. And now he's just got his very first win, second race in, he was sitting 19 down. Now he's sitting, what's he, 7 or 8 out, roughly. Aaron, do we have the 250 points? Yeah, we have him sitting 7 down, right? So he was 19. Are some of those are? I think what people don't like too is he's very straightforward. He says he puts it out there. There's no gray area with Hayden, and people need to just kind of get used to that. I don't think see anything bad with that. And number one, he put himself in that position to win that. He could have been, you know, pushing the limits and went down. He didn't. He rode a phenomenal race. He was closing in on Austin. He lost a little ground. He closed back in, and then Austin had that mistake. The kid's the real deal. He's here. If you don't like him, I don't know what to tell you. Our sport needs the different characters and the different mentalities and the different way of thinking. You know, we all can't just be cookie cutter robots. You know, and the kid is working his backside off to put himself in this position.
Yep. So Boober on board. Great question. Listen, I think that his podium, in my opinion, I think his podium speech was okay. Some people, you know, a lot of people think he didn't have enough compassion. He wasn't being,
but what's the compassion? I mean, how many times were you in that position, Ricky, where you were either leading or chasing down the lead and you had a massive cartwheel, let's call it, or vice versa. You were chasing down James, or I was chasing down James, and there's this huge crash. Yeah. I mean, it sucks to see. We never want to see anybody get hurt. But on the inside, you know what? We're kind of looking
I'm like,
there.
Hell yeah, I won. I'm like,
on the
dude,
inside, I'm like, you're like, hey, I just made up points. The points leader went down. I mean, nobody, like I said, nobody wants to see anybody get hurt, but nope. And have a massive crash like that. But on the other side of it, the Hayden's goal is the championship. And he's sitting in a better position than he was before he started Dallas. And when he leaves there, he's not thinking about what just happened to Austin. And number one, you shouldn't think about what happened to Austin, because that could happen to you the next time out. So the last thing you want to do is put that in your head. Oh, I can't do what he did, or, you know, have all this outside noise. No. As a racer, you block everything out and you go racing.
Well, and also too, I don't know maybe the people aren't considering of, have you thought maybe how, what was going through Hayden's mind? Dude, it's his first Supercross race that he's ever won, his first main event. Yeah. That is something that you win, you'll remember forever.
It happens once.
You remember your first Supercross win. I remember my first Supercross win. Nothing is as special as doing things like that for the first time. So he had that going on. Has anyone ever considered, and I know this was his strategy, because I asked what the strategy was, and he told me exactly, like, has anyone considered this, that maybe his strategy played out the exact way that he was hoping it would play out? Like, he knew that he needed to slow down a little bit and make no mistakes on the racetrack, or minimal mistakes and not big mistakes. And if he was behind Austin, follow Austin, pressure him, and see if he would crack like he has the last 5 years. And dude, like, so everything that he did was exactly how he played itself out. Like, he was going to pressure him and see if Austin was going to buckle. He did. Hayden did tell me he's bummed and disappointed that happened to him. He was thinking like maybe Austin would wash the front end out or something like that. It would be that kind of slip up. But at the end of the day, like, dude, like, consider what this guy's going through. I mean, like, I don't think that Hayden is a bad person, or he's not a compassionate person, or he's not, like, you know, he's not thinking about others. Of course he is. I think he's a good person at heart. But just because he's stoked and everything, all things considered, of what went down, I mean, give the guy a little bit of wiggle room here. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I agree.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Some notables, I think that we haven't talked about him, and he's had a rough go at it. Nick Romano, he got some good hole shots this weekend. And I think after a guy like that getting some starts and running up front, I think we might see a little more of him because of that. I think those type of rides are good for riders like that who's been down and has come across some injuries, I think.
I agree. Like, I don't think the main event wasn't super stellar for, let me see, I'm looking for him right now. Wasn't super stellar for him, but no. Qualifier, he rode really well. I actually said that on the Title 24 group text, you know, I was rewatching. And for a guy that I know ACL surgery, off the bike for quite a while, he got 12th in the main event. So not terrible. But his heat race ride was really well. He showed like he had been out there for multiple times in racing, you know supercrosses, and he rode well. He had the speed, so I was impressed with his heat race. So I think there's some good things to come from Romano.
Romano
also, yeah.
Yeah, and just to clarify too, you know, like Hayden, I mean, he said I hate that happened to Austin. I wanted to battle him. I mean, yeah. He said that. I mean, and I think, dude, honestly, I think he is the type of competitor that probably wishes Austin didn't crash, because I think he's a dog, dude. I think he wants to wear you down. That's my opinion on Hayden, and I think. That's how he wants it. I just think he's that tenacious. So moving along, Max Anstey, dude, that team deserves some credit. The whole crew over there on that Firepower Honda team, Marty, team manager, worked his butt off. You could see Max Anstey really likes and appreciates how well Marty has done, Martin Davalos has done as team managers. Is it a surprise to you that Max is and that team has the red plate right now?
Honestly, I mean, from his if he didn't have a year like he did last year with Marty and the team, yes, I would be surprised. But man, he came out last year and surprised mm-hmm. me and a lot of people. And right now he's sitting with a 4-point lead with 38 total points, you know, putting himself in a really good position. I love, like I've said it on the show, I love the guy's interviews. He's a happy guy. He's awesome to listen to when he's doing his interviews. He gives a great interview. You know, so look, he's one of the older guys out in this field of young guns, and don't count him out, because he's got the skills and he definitely is mature, and he's got the speed also. So I see it coming down to him. You know, if he can hold this together, that's one thing that I think that he's going to have to do is minimize having a big mistake at one of these weekends, a crucial mistake that's going to let's call it a 6th through 8th or 10th, you know, he needs to minimize those, and if he can put himself in this championship fight down to the end, mm-hmm. that'll be mm-hmm. really cool to see, because you got, you know, the likes of guys like Hayden Deegan, young gun, you know, Austin's out now, but you have Dax Bennett sitting third, Pierce Brown sitting second, you know, so a lot of these younger guys, maybe the old dog's could pull it out, which would be pretty cool to see.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, I want to give a shout out to Vial. You didn't see it, but dude, in practice, he took a gnarly. Oh, here you go. Look at that. That's in practice. Watch the screen right here. Look at him just lawn dart. That's on that section, same section. Yeah,
I was just gonna say that's the same rhythm section that got Austin out. You know, so
I'd like to. Dude, I didn't even think he was gonna race.
Yeah, yeah. I'd like to know. What, you know, if you ask the riders or, you know, and not that we're going to find out now, obviously, but what was so from their point? I didn't hear it in the press conference. I didn't hear it on the podium. What was so different or difficult, or was that rhythm section just so easy? It was easy to just easy to rush and get in there with, you know, too much speed, because it, like I said, it caught a lot of dudes off in all day into the night shows.
Yeah, it'd be nice to know that. We'll do a little more homework and get some answers for you guys on that. That was it would be interesting to know, because yeah, a lot of people. I mean, I haven't seen a whole lot from the riders about, dude, that was gnarly. That should have been taken down. You know, like what's going on.
Nope.
So yeah, it'd be interesting. I mean, just me sitting here, old retired dude, knew like it was a pretty difficult and tricky section. They come around, they had to wheelie, get the front end, put the front end down at the right spot, boom, hit that single jump that didn't have a lot of lift to start with. So it was just a difficult and tricky
section.
Yeah, section. And you think about it, I mean, how many times do you hear riders say, dude, no one can do anything different, everything's the same? Well, then you go put something like that, and then everyone's fired up because, oh, it's too dangerous. So like,
and here's the other thing, Ricky, if it was too dangerous, the other option line that actually wasn't too bad, I saw Kenny doing it, I saw Hunter do it once or twice, was instead of going all the way over the tabletop, you go onto the tabletop off, and then you finish your combinations on the way out. Mm-hmm. You know, that substantially is a much safer option. It's a lot shorter of a jump. It's just an easier option to jump onto the tabletop than go over. These riders have the options. And once again, that's why I said,
I'm with you.
Aware of the situation. If the track's going away, you have to make those adjustments. You know, to keep yourself out of those situations.
Yep. All right. The second season in running. This is a time where we like to give stuff away, or I say we, but quad lock question of the week this week. The winner is J Pro Baja 11. J Pro Baja 11. Thanks for being a loyal listener to Title 24 and tuning in, whether you're viewing or watching. J Pro Baja 11 asks, talk about the balance between planning / looking ahead versus what's in front of you. Now, I'm going to assume that means the situation that that Jet was in on the last lap when he ran into the back of Vince Freeze, and I'm going to assume that maybe he's talking about planning something like on that first rhythm section, since that section. What do you think? What's your view? What do you do?
Well, so
the balance. What's the balance?
There is a balance. There's a balance of looking at how far you're going to look forward, and there is like a happy medium. You can't be looking way out in front. You can't be looking down at your front fender. But I think what makes a difference between a great rider and a good rider is being able to manage all three or four of those. So looking forward, your closing rate on these riders or the rhythm sections or you know, whatever we're talking about, your closing rate, your speed coming into whatever your obstacles in front of you. Then the third thing is being able to, what are you going to do with that information? How are you going to adjust? Like we use Jet, for example. The closing rate onto Vince Freeze was substantial. He was in that line. Obviously, he had said he didn't look far enough forward. So I think, what do you do with that information is what makes a really great racer and rider. So to answer the question, I think you have to have a little bit of everything. And that's, I think the biggest critical part is what do you do with the information? How can you switch lines in a split second? How can you know that you're going to clip that jump, for example? Like, you know, they're almost instinctual things. You spend so much time on the motorcycle. And I think you have to be taught that too, as a younger rider. Like, hey, you can't slam into these walls. You can't clip that too much. You know, like all these things have to be brought to your attention as you're developing and coming up through the ranks. Yeah. Is the biggest thing, you know. And I think some guys have it and some guys don't. You know, sometimes Hampshire is a great example. I think he has two of the three. I don't think he sometimes knows what to do with that split second decision, right? And then is it the right decision that you, if you do have the time and you do make a decision, what is it the right, was it the right move?
Yeah, great, great champions. They always have a plan for almost any situation possible, and then be because of that, and then and they have the right balance also. They have the right plan, so they know in said rhythm lane, RV, you know this, you knew exactly how you were going to approach it. If it was a gnarly section and you were getting hounded, dude, I'm guessing you're just going to take your medicine and you are going to do that section so you won't make a mistake, or you can do it and not crash. And if you're not faster than your competitor, then you get overtaken. But you know you're going to live to fight another day. And that's what I think great champions do. They know, okay, the whoops are going to be gnarly tonight, so I'm going to commit to jumping through them, or I'm going to commit to this line. And you roll scenarios through. And, sometimes people say, oh, this rider is so unlucky. And 9 out of 10 times, for me speaking, for myself personally, any time that something happened to me, it wasn't because it was just bad luck. 9 out of 10 times, I did something wrong. I did something wrong. To me, bad luck, RV, is like you're going down the rhythm section and then some dude comes the opposite way and jumps into you. That's
bad luck.
That is bad luck, right? Yes. But when you crash on your own, you did something wrong. That's not bad luck. 9 out of 10 times, right?
Yeah, I 100% agree. A bike blowing up, a rider jumping off track and hitting you, if the bike transmission goes out, the chain breaks, those are bad luck things.
Yeah, if you don't have a mechanical or someone doesn't hit you, it is your fault most of the time.
Maybe put it this way. It was you made a mistake. Maybe it's not your fault. Mistake is maybe is more of a politically correct word for the folks that are listening to. You made a mistake. And to my point of what I had said, he had done, we'll pull 50, he jumped the rhythm section 50 times. I'll pull that out of the cloud. He jumped it X amount of times prior to that and had no issues. And then a mistake happened.
There you go. Yep. That's the quad lock question of the week. Congrats, J Pro Baja 11. You know what to do. Slide into the direct message section of Title 24 Instagram. JH, our co-producer, will get you set up with quad lock, and they will send you some swag and a whole bunch of their products. So we appreciate you. And that was a great question. I love the in-depth analysis, RV, that you gave there. You are freaking spot on. As far as the Dunlop due diligence section of the show that we're going to talk about and look at this week, the track map for Daytona. It's going to be a good one. Aaron, throw it up there. This is the Dunlop due diligence section of the track. Completely different this year. The start's in the same spot, but it's going to be a nice sweeping 180 corner. When they sweep underneath the 180 corner, they're going to go under the tunnel, and this is going to be the first rhythm lane, somewhat supercross style. Then we'll get back into the Daytona style of track, if you will, where it's that you can see the dirt is the like natural terrain. You got some offsets. The track's going to go back and forth here, and it's so when I say it was a big change, it's going the opposite direction as it has the last several years. Yep. I hope that section that the arrow just went through, RV, that split lane, works as well as it did a couple years. Sometimes that section is a crapshoot, you know, like as much as and as hard as you try to get it just right to where it's dead nuts even is extremely hard. So hopefully we'll see that. But this section up here coming up, RV, I don't know what you think about it, but this sand, this gnarly deep sand, I love this. It's something as easy as it seems like it would be. It always creates a whole bunch of chaos.
It does. And I look, they actually didn't bring it into any of the turns, which I think will keep some of the chaos down, but man, the track looks technical. It looks long. This is the longest supercross track we have, as everybody knows, Daytona. So you're going to have heart rates are going to be, it's going to be up there. But the one cool thing is they will go back to, because the lap time being so long, they will go back to going off of essentially, it'll be more closer to the laps. You know, it's still going to be 20 minutes. But this Daytona would always work into our, into the disadvantage side for when we were actually on the laps, because we would still do 20 laps and then your time was, you know, up, you'd go up into the 25s, 28s time, minute motos, where now it'll be actually, you know, 14 to 15 laps and it's still at the 20 minute mark. So, I'm always looking forward to Daytona because for us racers, it's kind of like the, I don't want to call it halfway point, but yeah, it's like the halfway point, right? Where when you leave Daytona, if you can stamp that race as something good, either you made big strides with the motorcycle, or if you knock down the win and you leave there with the points lead, that's for some reason, I think there's a stat actually, guys leaving Daytona with the points lead 9 times out of 10 win or something. So
yeah. Right. Hey, that's what Birdine 28 was. Arlington the turning point for the season, or do you think Daytona will be? RV, you just answered it. I am with you. I don't think Arlington was. I think this week is from Daytona and to the end of the Supercross series in Salt Lake, I think is where you really, and I hate using this saying, but it's where the cream rises to the top for sure. This is where you get into the nuts and bolts of it and where the strong survive. It's where you got to dig deep. If you're having little injuries, you know, you got to push through it and you just got to find ways. And I think because this season and the championship is so tight, your execution is going to be so, so important. And I think that you're just going to see the consistency is going to tighten up a little bit. I think the starts are going to tighten up a bit. And you're just going to really have to be spot on your execution, I believe.
Yep. Because as you said, as these races start to click down, if you have a mistake at Anaheim within the first, say, 5 rounds, you know it mentally in your head that you have some time to recover. Well, as it gets, Daytona rolls around, and then as you're closing out the season, the mistakes become, it's like they get put under a magnifying glass. You don't have the time to, you know, race back to the front. Now, if you put yourself in a bad position leaving Daytona, then you're forcing them to make the mistake, like hoping they're going to make the mistake. Say, hey, I need this guy to fall or have a mechanical or this. You don't want to be in that position leaving Daytona. You want to be the one that is leading, that is closing this series out in that winning position.
Yep, 100%. If you guys didn't watch the SMX Insider post-race show where we gave you the TV schedule, we're going to throw it up here for you. And if you're bored and you can't make it to Daytona International Speedway, as you guys remember, always on Thursdays, SMX Insiders with Weege and JT. That's at 2 p.m. Eastern on YouTube. And then Saturday, 1:30, practice and qualifying will be live on Peacock. That's Race Day Live. Again, 1:30 p.m. Eastern time. And then the show starts to be live on Peacock, 7 p.m. Eastern time. Make sure you check that out. Looking forward to it. This is a special race. I think this is one of the ones that most racers, if you ask them if there's one that they want to win, this is one of the races, Daytona, just because of the history and that place. RV, you've done well there. Myself, I've done well. I just loved racing there. You're able to let it loose. It always came at like the right time of the season for me in Supercross, where I was ready to kind of like, you know, reach some higher speeds and just not have to be so precise. So that's it. You got anything else for the boys or girls, everyone tuned in for Title 24?
I'm looking forward. I'm kind of on the fence, and they've asked me to come out. Maybe I'm like, maybe I'll come out, but we'll see. But no, it's I always love Daytona. Like you said, it's a very historical race. It's one of the biggest ones to win. There's only one of them per season of this style of track. With this style of dirt, very technical, the track gets rough. You know, you have some red clay mixed in, and then you have that very dark dirt. Yep. You need to be able to read multiple terrains and conditions. And you saw the beach sand, the Daytona beach sand that they added in that massive straightaway. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm stoked. I think that the turning point of both of our classes, the 250 and the 450, is going to be this weekend.
That's right. Well, before we go, thanks again to all of our great sponsors, United Motorsports, Quadlock Case, Foxo USA, and Dunlop Tires. I'm going to go out here, cut some laps at the iconic Gatorback Cycle Park. Looking forward to that. And looking forward to Daytona. RV, this was a good one. Remember, if you guys are only doing the audio version of Title 24, we are on all podcast applications. So make sure you download that. And if you want to watch it, we're on Motorsports on NBC's YouTube page. And, of course, on Peacock always. And remember, on Peacock, it's on demand. So if you want to watch last week's episode, you can do that. There was some great insight. And RV calling some great stuff out. But nevertheless, thank you guys for all your support. We love y'all. The fan engagement has been through the roof. I know that we don't answer everyone's, only because I will say that a lot of the questions that you guys have, a lot of them are the same. So it's not from a lack of us not getting back to you. But yeah, we do get a lot of the same questions. So thank you guys. We appreciate y'all. And RV, have a great week, my man. And I'm going to go try to keep the shiny side up here.
That's right. Let's see. So get out there, Ricky.
That's right, brother.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah. Of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well.
Ooh, yeah. That happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.